November 15, 2018, is the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you. Watt for Pedro Show. Hey, brother, man, how you doing?
Howdy. Everything is good. Everything is good. Happy to be in a little roll here. Several in a row.
That's right.
Pretty close.
And we're feeling some effects where it ain't too fine.
Yeah, yeah. A little coughing.
We got, although it's November, people, it's almost 80 degrees here.
Yeah, sometimes October, November, some of the nicest months once the Santa Ana's roll in.
But now they're aiding the bet in these fucking firestorms.
Also fuck people.
I think we got four of them, big ones going.
Huge.
Three of them here in SoCal, but the deadly ones up like there by Chico.
Yeah, Yuba City's on there.
Man, I feel so bad. And I know the Red Cross is taking some money. Mm. Yeah, Bloom, I found some donates. Criminy.
Huh? Yeah, some friends of friends, Burning Man group, their whole family got toasted. It really sucks. Jesus.
I always think of that, you know. My dream was always coming back from a gig in Hollywood or something, and you see the smoke, the fire, the fire truck, as you get closer, and it's like, you're dead! But, yeah, this is almost. Anyway, big love to everybody getting through this.
Yeah, be safe.
We started with Jimmy's Mode, John Coltrane. And then we got a guest via the incredible engineers from Estonia who brought us Skype for Econo, even though fucking microshite nothing now. They couldn't do it without them dudes bringing it aboard. We got Ned Collette from Berlin.
Yeah, cool. Welcome.
Welcome, Ned.
You guys had a momentous
meeting.
Thank
you very much.
And we got Stateless Brave from your new record. It came out last month.
Sure, yeah, it came a couple of months back now, yeah.
A couple of months, sorry. But for us, it's brand new, and we're going to be playing it and listening to it. I love it much. We had your buddy Fred on last show, who did some gigs with you on bass. But I want to fucking drop a quarter in the Wayback Machine, Ned.
Cool.
And ask you to recall your earliest musical memory.
Oh, man, I reckon it was... So... I grew up in Melbourne, in sort of the little southern bottom end of Australia there. And I reckon it was down the beach. And I think it was, do you remember that guy, Lloyd Cole, and he had a band, Lloyd Cole and the Commotions?
Yeah, I think a New Jersey guy.
No, he was an English guy, but they were all up in Scotland. I think the band was Scottish, but he was English.
Oh, wow.
But, oh, wait, he lives, maybe he lives now. I think he's been, like, living in the States for forever, like, for 20, 30 years now.
I don't know his beginnings, but I think he spent some time, he might still be there in New Jersey. I think, I think there were some guys from the Voidoids who played guitar for him, like, Ivan Julian or Bob Quine.
I can imagine that, like, it's totally the same generation. Oh.
Incredible guitarist, the Voidoid guys, man. I don't know.
Hell
if
yeah.
You know that album Blank Generation, right?
Yeah.
Big influence on me and D Boone.
Oh yeah, totally, man. Like, who says it's good to be alive? The same ones that keep it a perpetual drive.
Yeah.
Great line.
The drummer Marky Bell, he ended up in the Ramones. Anyway, what about Lloyd Cole?
So I reckon I've got a couple of much older sisters, like 12, 13 years older than me, and that album, the first Lloyd Cole and the Commotions album, was called Rattlesnakes, and that hit really big in Australia for some reason, like much bigger than anywhere else, kind of like ABBA. Like, ABBA was big in Australia way before anywhere else.
Okay.
But
I know Stooges has always been big in Australia.
Yeah, like early, what do they call it, early adopters or something. Everyone was into this record. Like, they were all in their teens, and I was probably 4 or 5. And I just think that's the first one. I often think about it. And I still love that record, man. It's kind of crazily undergraduate, you know, like all his lyrics about reading Simone de Beauvoir and stuff. But, yeah, it holds up. It's hilarious. It's a killer band.
Okay,
and I read some interview, and apparently they were all into Bill Frisell and all sorts of weird shit, so there you go.
Petra's been recorded with Bill Frisell.
Yeah, right.
Incredible guitar man.
So,
look, you got older sisters in the pad. Is anybody playing instruments where you grew up? In the house?
Not really.
Okay.
No, my dad. Well, my dad a bit, you know. He played guitar and he sang. And when I was growing up, he just sort of had odd jobs. Like, he worked in a music store and he used to sing in coffee lounges when that was a thing.
So there's a guitar sitting around the house then.
There's a guitar sitting around the house. You know, like, my parents split when I was pretty young, probably about four. Yeah. So whenever I was at my dad's, there was a guitar sitting around. But it was this, like, gnarly old Maiden steel string. It was impossible to play, you know, like, I've still got it. It's a great guitar. I did some work on it. It's actually, it records really well, but it's, you know.
Help build up the strength in your fingers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Ned, can you tell me the first record you bought for yourself?
I reckon, yeah, so, like, can it be a tape?
Yeah, of course. Just something like you went and got picked. It wasn't given to you, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure on the timing, but I reckon it was the Fine Young Cannibals, The Raw and The Cooked, on tape.
Okay, yeah, I remember those guys. Trio from England, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Kind of soul
music.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, like this kind of late 80s soul music. Yeah, they had a big hit. Weirdly enough, I know the singer now pretty well. He's kind of a friend of my family in a really random way.
Wow, yeah, he was a good singer. Mm. What about school? Did you take any music classes in school and shit?
Sure. So, like, my dad was keen on that. I learned piano when I was probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 until I was about 11. And then I switched, got a guitar on my 11th birthday, just a nylon string, you know, Spanish kind of dealio. Yeah. And then...
Was there a piano in the pad?
There was. My dad's second wife was a piano teacher.
Oh, wow.
So the good old piano there. And
now, was your piano learning experience a good one, or was it a horror?
It was kind of tough, but it's hard to tease it out from the retrospect.
Well, it didn't want to make you run away from music, is what I'm saying.
I had a fairly tough
teacher. Your brother
Matt
has had people on the show where it almost destroyed people's love of music, this experience. Other people, it was a really good one. I think it depends.
No,
on,
it was cool. It
I
was cool.
It depends
I had a guy,
on the
he was
teacher,
kinda
that's
tough.
My guess.
Say again?
I think it's about the teacher.
Totally. I had a pretty tough teacher, but he was pretty lateral. He could tell I wasn't going to be a concert pianist, and I was more interested in, like, improvising and making stuff up and getting into songs and the Beatles and all that crap. So, you know, he kind of moved with me, which is, you know, always good.
What about school? Were you in, like, the orchestra or the marching band? I don't know how
in Australia. Cause by the time I was in school, I was playing guitar, and you couldn't really... You know, the guitar doesn't really fit into the orchestra. There was kind of a stage band, you know, doing jazz and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was sort of in that. But I think mostly I kind of didn't start playing with people until I just sort of started jamming with people, you know.
Yeah,
I wasn't
after
really
school, in the yeah. garage, basement.
Totally. Sometimes at school or whatever, we'd kind of get on side with the music teachers and they'd let us lock up and stuff. It was pretty cool, actually.
Wow, that's pretty loose. I want to play Waka Nui.
Just a few drops can change everything. A few drops can change everything. Just a few drops can change everything.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer. I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one.
Thank you. God's goal.
Watch for Pedro Show. You just heard Carriage 6 from Ned Collette, new record. Dick's ahead of that. Cities Are Burning.
Yeah, current. That's appropriate.
Yeah, that's Gary Floyd. He's doing painting now up in the city. Beautiful man, Gary Floyd. King Champion sounds brand new. Neverland, Speak of the Crow. Dietrich and Barnes, that's John Dietrich. Jeremy Barnes, out of New Mexico with San Juan. They got a new album. Old Zagreb band. Trobe Kove Kushne Pese. It's like this guy's bricks. Yeah, there was some serial killer, I don't know, 40 years ago, 70s or something, and he was burying the people in the back. Cooking them or burning them up or some shit. But they're bad, man. This band from the early 80s, kind of Minuteman, wow. The Koya, you know, funky, it's great, little trio.
Oh, righteous.
Stanislav turned me up.
Cool.
By the way, Brother Matt, in January we're going to have four Balkan bands in a row.
Oh, yeah?
Shows, yeah. Oh, Brother Vasco again with his new band,
cool.
21
cool.
Back. The Milo man from Zagreb. Actually, the bass man is Komija.
Cool, bitchin'.
Yeah, Miroslav.
Wow.
And then Turisti is another one. And the guy who runs the club that when I play in Zagreb, it's Mokva, I think. It's right by the Sava River. And his name is Cornel, and his band is called Shumski.
Oh, bitchin'.
Yeah. So we're going to get some old country.
Yeah, very
young
cool.
Young people do from the old country doing
very
music.
Cool.
January 2019, our first shows. And then ahead of that was Maya and the Revolutionary Hell Yeah, up the city, Cops Dream. Yoko Ono with her version of Imagine. Ahead of that, brand new from M.B. Jones out of Pusan with A Few Drops of Poison. And we started it all off with Wakanui from Ned Collette. And he's got a story about this. It's a Maori word, and his ma is from New Zealand. And let's tell us, Ned.
So... yeah, I mean, it's from New Zealand, but the weird thing was there's these three streets in Northcote in Melbourne, where I'm from. And Northcote's kind of one of the first houses I lived when I was out of home, you know. Lots of students around, lots of musos. And I lived in this street, Wakanui Street. And the other ones were Hakateri and Omaru, maybe. Anyway, it's really weird, just these three Maori street names in Melbourne. There's no other ones, you know.
Wow.
And in this house, I guess I was like 19. By this stage, I was studying music at uni, you know, like studying guitar and improvised music and jazz and shit. And I lived there with three other musos. And I probably learned 99% of everything I think about music in that 1 year, in 1999.
Wow.
You know, just living with these older guy... a drummer who I'd been to high school with, who's brilliant, a couple of years up from me, and an amazing flute player who was about my age, Belinda Woods. And we just played. We played in a band together, and we were just always together and listening to stuff. And so I made this song that you heard a couple of years ago for this record. And it was kind of this weird organ loop with, you know, and then I just had a bit of a blow over the top of it on guitar. And then at the end, I kind of said, oh, that reminds me of all that music from back then. So I just named it after the street. And then, seriously, 2 days later, I get an email from them, from Belinda and Tim, who'd lived there ever since for 20 years or something, saying, oh, man, we just got evicted.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah.
No more Wakanui Street.
Sure, but I mean, it was amazing they lasted that long. But the timing was weird.
Can you haka?
What was that about?
Can you do the haka?
Can you do the haka there, Ned?
I can't do that. I can't do that. My cousin probably can.
Gary.
Haka.
It's when they chant and then...
No, but in Japan, a haka is a graveyard.
Oh.
It's the boneyard. They have these little posts. Some of them, like, there ain't anybody that... The spirits are there. Yeah, they give you another name. I don't know. It's Shinto. I don't understand so much, but...
Whole
yeah,
different
like,
trip.
Yeah, boneyard with the bones.
One haka will scare you into the other.
Into the other haka, right. You get another name, too. Like I guess you're waiting to be reborn, right? Because Buddha, kind of an incarnation. I don't know exactly.
Back in line.
Anyway, that's trippy. I know about the Maori haka, though. That's pretty
good. Yeah,
that's
badass.
Well, it's not, there might, there's nothing, I don't know, man, when I was in Tokyo and I went to, like, the Natural History Museum or whatever, or just the History of Japan Museum, there was a lot of stuff there I saw that seemed, like, the expressions and the carvings and all that sort of thing that, you know, you can see a line through those cultures.
Yeah, a little similarity.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Stuff. Well, you get it from other, totally.
You know,
but
you know
then you get
Taiwan.
So much coming from the other way, from, like, Hawaii and stuff.
Well, you know about Taiwan.
Tell me.
Them investigate via DNA. Taiwan,
yeah.
This is before all the Han Chinese people came over because of that civil war they had about 70 years ago. But before that, the Aborigine, the beginning people of Taiwan, they're the ancestors of most of the Polynesia people. And Japan has some of that DNA in it. Yeah, people to Easter Island, to Hawaii, uh-huh. They all come from Taiwan.
That's a good point. It ties in all that tiki stuff.
Yeah, incredible, incredible sailors.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they didn't have maps, you know. They had these sticks for maps with little rocks in them because they looked at the angles of the waves. They used some stars. You know, longitude, you can't really do with the stars.
Yeah, those Polynesian sailors came all the way to land right on Cabrillo Beach
a
couple years ago on the old boats they made.
It's incredible. Anyway, back to your music journey, Ned. What was the first gig you did in front of people?
It was like apart from at a school assembly or something, like the actual public.
Yeah, you got to play in front of people, you know.
I reckon
talking about recital or.
No, I reckon like the first kind of gig where I felt like it was a proper gig was. So I had a band towards the end of high school. I guess I was 15, 16, sort of thing. With drums, bass, guitar.
Power tunes.
And I sang a bit, but we were also really into, like, the Dirty Three. Oh. And I was really into the Necks and stuff. So we had lots of instrumentals as well.
I got to jam with those guys almost every day of the big day off. I mean, big day off.
Oh, yeah,
off.
Right. What year was
five,
that?
It's like 5 gigs in 3 weeks, so they call it, like, the big day off.
Yeah, sure.
It was in 1996. I was playing with Porno for Pyro the first time. I helped another band.
And well, that was the first time I came across you, too.
Okay.
I saw Perry last week. Did I tell you that?
Perry's got a new band.
I saw him with Bob Weir.
Oh, wow.
Bob Weir from the dead.
Yeah. Perry's got a new band called the Kind Heaven.
Oh.
Is Bob Weir in it?
No.
No, he sang, came out and sang Friend of the Devil. Bob Weir was with Wolf Brothers. And he came out and sang Friend of the Devil, and then they did Breakdown by Tom Petty. That was trippy. Cool.
I don't know Wolf Brothers, unless you mean Wolf
Brothers. That's his new band. That's his new band, little trio, just a drum and bass guys.
Cool.
Yeah, no more Bob Weir band.
No Rat Dog or
Rat
none of
Dog,
that.
That's
yeah.
What it was. Oh, that had the bass man.
Wasserman.
Bob Wasserman passed away.
Yeah.
Good bass man.
Yeah, this guy was cool.
Okay. So how'd that gig go?
It was cool. There was this guy, this mad guy had a guitar store up above a kebab shop called Zombie Music.
Like shish kebab? All right.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And it was right around the corner from my house. I think I was still living at home, you know, I was still in high school. And there's this place called Zombie Music. And he stuck us out on, like, the awning above the kebab shop. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, when you walk down, you know what I mean.
Is the thing over the hatch, so rain don't come on you. Yeah.
But, like, I don't think it's really supposed to be stood on. Anyway, we set up a drum kit and some amps and shit. It's cool. There were trams going by, and, like, a girlfriend sat over the other side of the road, like, on the curb. The old Italian ladies talking to them. It was cool. I still got photos from there. It was a nice start.
And you weren't afraid?
I was afraid of falling off the roof.
Oh, I forgot to ask you, what was your first electric guitar?
My first electric guitar, that breaks my heart, it was like a Maton. It was called a Maton. I can't remember what it was called. A Maton Rocket or something. It was red. Like, it was kind of like a Gibson 335 sort of shape, you know?
Okay.
Double cutaway, but kind of like soft little horns there.
And what kind of amp?
like a Fender, you know, your classic 15 watt Fender, not a Champ, but you know, some like transistor thing.
Crate.
Yeah, like, yeah, something. Like, it's still kicking around in Melbourne, that amp, actually. I ripped all the vinyl off it thinking I'd, like, polish up the wood, but it was just plywood underneath a chipboard or something.
I did what the first bass I got, I didn't like the finish, it was some kind of red and yellow. So, I'm like, sandpaper, that's going to take too long. So I wrapped sandpaper around a drill bit. Motherfucker had so many divots in it.
Yeah.
Terrible. Because, you know, you couldn't get it even, right? You go down. It was a dumb fuck. I think it was 15. Well, the first couple of years, I didn't know the bass had bigger strings. I thought they actually had skinnier necks. Well, they only have 4 strings. I didn't know they had. I remember.
Yeah, right.
I was like 16 when I saw. No, I'm not 16 yet. I just started 10th grade, so a couple of months before I turned 16. Chuck's on the music
Chuck's
brother now. Yeah. And I'm looking at this thing, and this guy's in my homeroom. Hey, I thought you were a bass player, because he sees me all like foaming and tripping on this thing. I said, I am. I looked at him like, you know what this is?
Huh.
And he goes, you know, that's a bass. And I said, yeah, I know that. I didn't know that. And then I thought, whoa, that's why there's only 4 strings. They're so fucking big. We're at the end of the first hour, November 15, 2018. Yes, you want for Peter's show special guest, Ned Collette. Hold tight for hour 2. November 15, 2018, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Into the house.
Other life we know.
Show. think I was 19 years old. It was a strip club called the Tarantella Tavern. It was really just a pickup joint for hookers. I soon found out that the hot mix I was providing weren't the ones the clientele were interested in. So after backing up one of the hookers for a rendition of House of the Rising Sun and being propositioned by a transsexual, playing 4 hours in the middle of the road covers, I asked myself, is that all there is to a gig? If that's all there is, if that's all there is, then let's keep dancing. Break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
I remember Melbourne Cup Day in 1978 with some anxiety. In working that morning, we had half the day off for this horse race. I was invited along to a barbecue with some friends of mine in Richmond. And after being quite intoxicated by mid-afternoon, I don't even remember hearing the race run. But I awoke about 8:45 on the couch in what can only be described as some sort of horrific sexual fantasy. I remember feeling quite pleasant in my sleep, and then I awoke to see the head of a balding man with my penis in his mouth. To my shock and horror, I stood up. "What are you doing?" I cried. I ran out of the room and leapt off the balcony into rose bushes.
If that's all there is, if that's all there is, my friend, then let's keep dancing. Break out the booze and have fun. If that's all.
But we
For Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Ned Collette doing Sacred Cats. And Amy Apps with Begin Anywhere, Mold Omen, True Till Death. The Healers with Death Street Tango. Kim Salmon and Spencer P. Jones. Is that all there is? We lost Brother Spencer. And Brian Hooper. I got to share the stage with him with the last Stooges gigs in 2013. And, both those cats I really dug. I met them earlier. Big day off, too. But
Conway Savage died, too.
That's right, Conway, the keyboard man. Because yeah, my buddy Larry's doing drums now for Nick. He was doing...
Sure. Yeah, I know Larry.
Yeah, he took Conway... Well, he lived a bunch of years in Berlin, right?
Yeah.
He's in Oslo these days. I think he's going to do something with Mick Harvey.
in a couple of weeks. McCarvey's bringing...
It was like all those Melbourne guys, they're just all getting to that age, you know. It's kind of scary. But I guess, you know, they were the big three this year. Maybe there'll be a bit of a break now.
Yeah, hopefully. Tex looked in good shape. But you know that shit, especially the pancreatic cancer shit, it just comes so quick. We lost Tony from the Dills, like, weeks.
Yeah, anyway.
Grant's Farm, Ned Collette. Okay, look, we're talking about Melbourne. You got kind of an Australian accent, it sounds like. But we're talking to you in Berlin, so how'd that happen?
Oh, man. Well, Australia's a long way from anywhere else, you know.
Sure.
I don't know, maybe, that, like, Melbourne's a great scene, and I think that's kind of why it's a great scene. Because you're kind of stuck out there, and you kind of foster your own thing, and people are really, like, all in it together. But it gets to a point where, you know, I started touring here a bit, and every time I wanted to tour here, it was just, you know, cost a lot of money to get here. I came through Berlin a few times, met some people. Germany had visas for me, because, you know, the English wouldn't give me anything, because they just, you know, they just founded our country and then fucking closed the gates. And then, you know, I should point out they founded the country. They didn't actually start the land, but let's not get into that. And so I liked it, and I came here, and I thought I'd come for a year or two, and within about 6 weeks I was home, you know.
So how long you been living there?
It'll be 9 years in March.
Okay, I think that's how long Larry lived.
Yeah, it's getting up there.
Aaron, let's talk about this. Well, what about the first record you did?
Like the first Ned Collette record, or the first recording or like album I was on or something?
Yeah, both.
Okay, so like I think the first recording I did was with this band, and it was with Tim and Belinda, who lived in that house. Yeah. And Tim was like this guy who was probably 20 years older than me. I was probably 19, he was probably late 30s. Amazing saxophone player. And he had a band called Bojass, like Bohjass. They're still going. But the first album they ever made, they've been going for 10 years before I joined, but the first album he ever made with that band, I was on that record.
Okay.
It's like a kind of like a free jazz, like, you know, Coltrane, Pharoah Sanders inspired kind of free jazz thing, but with a bit more kind of heavy composition in between. I have to link you up with it, man. I think you dig that record.
Okay. You know, jazz, J-A-S-S, was the old way that the brothers spelled it.
Exactly, and so he was like, what, for him it was short for Bohemian Jazz.
Okay.
And he was like, I mean, Tim is like a guy from the middle of nowhere countryside, but he's I shouldn't talk about him in the past tense. He's still around. He's still making heaps of records and stuff. But yeah, he was tuned into that whole sort of history of things. And
I think it's short for jasmine. Cause the
strong
smell they had at the Casa Puta, the, you know, kind of odor.
Sure. I don't know what you're talking about.
First time I played in Sydney. At that big day out. They have it at the county fair.
Oh, yeah.
So you're in these fucking stalls, you know, where there have been cows turning up a fucking storm. So they got jasmine all over. Same thing. So shared experience. I want to play... It's time for Brother Matt's Spin Cycle.
Oh, here we go.
Bring it, Brother Matt.
Cool.
Yeah. smash on the wilderness. Had you coming from the cold, lost in the wild.
Brother Matt. Lightning. What made you do what you did to us today?
That was Thanksgiving music.
Thanksgiving music that
it started
giving.
With Tack with Thanksgiving and just kind of went from there with a slight technical difficulty, but we pulled it off.
That's right. Back on the air here with Ned Collette, Berlin, we're talking about... Well, let's talk about this record that just came out. When did the idea for it come out, come up with you, Ned?
So it's like, you know, I finished, I think the last one came out in 2014. I started working on a new one. And then me and my partner in everything, Joe Talia, who's the drummer, producer, avant-garde musician extraordinaire who lives in Tokyo now, we kind of got this new record to a point where we thought it was done, but it was kind of just songs, and they were all kind of just crashing into each other, you know, like sitting on top of each other. And then we had like all this instrumental stuff that we'd sort of squirreled away over the years, and I started sort of throwing that in between the songs, and then I wrote to him and said, hey, I think this needs to either have less songs and be shorter, or have more songs and be like a double record. And so I guess that whole idea came around probably 2016 or something, early 2016. And then it kind of just made itself in a way. We just had to kind of place things.
Where'd you do it?
I do most of my recording, I got like a little studio under my apartment, although at that time I didn't have that. So it was like my partner was pregnant. I was mostly recording in our bedroom, and then once our daughter came along, I think the situation was we were sleeping in the room with her, and then the other room we were both working because my partner was writing her PhD and stuff. Like, it just got done, I don't know, in the house. I did it in the house, and I sent it back to Joe in Melbourne and Tokyo, and he added bits and mixed things and sent them back, and like, pretty much all my stuff's been a bit like that. It's all kind of a bit of a patchwork. But the beauty of Joe as a mixer is he kind of makes things talk to each other. He makes all the songs talk to each other, even if they were recorded in completely different ways and stuff.
So it sounds as a whole.
Yeah, he kind of makes it sound that way, you know. And then, you know, like I had this song, you know The Necks, right? You know the band The Necks.
Sure.
Sure. So, like, Chris, the pianist from that, I knew him from around Berlin, and the last thing to go down on this record was the song June, which is, like, the sort of 12-minute thing in the middle.
Right, right.
And I wrote this song, I kind of sketched it out, recorded the guitar, a bit of a scratch vocal, and then that night I went out and I saw Chris, and I was just, like, he's been, I mean, The Necks were my, like I said before, they were, like, huge heroes of mine from when I was a teenager. And I saw him out, and, oh, man, I was just like, oh, I just made something that maybe you'd be interested in. But I didn't know him that well. Like, it felt like a bit of a, like I was trying to talk him into something. And so I said, yeah, I could come around. Have you got a piano? And then got to the day, and then he emailed me and said, I don't think I can make it. And then he kind of emailed back and said, oh, maybe I can. He just came around and drank a couple of cups of coffee and, like, did two takes. And he dug it. Like, I could tell he dug it. And the rest is kind of history. I mean, that's sort of been the reason that this album's kind of, I don't know, put us in different places, because A, Chris is on it, and also he's kind of been into it. So he was just on the tour we did with Fred and Joe, and he's been really sort of like, yeah, let's do more. Like, I'm totally up for this. And that's been kind of a blessing in so many, like, practical but also really like personal ways, you know. It's been killer.
Yeah, so yeah, to have a hero be your sideman. What about you doing the sideman thing?
Yeah, I do it a bit. I don't get asked a whole lot. But when I have done it, I've done it pretty enthusiastically. Like, there's a guy in Melbourne called Francis Plan. I used to play in his band for a while. He's like a kind of singer-songwriter who like intersperses everything with like music concrete and free. I mean, like, So that's the whole thing I came out of in Melbourne, was like the late 90s, early 2000s. There was a real killer free scene going on. And then I was like, I was a kid back then, and then I was the kid that kind of got into songs, you know. Did you ever see that Townes Van Zandt?
Townes Van Zandt.
Yeah, he said, like, I'd like to be a... Yeah. And, you know, he's saying, I would have liked to be a poet, but then all these songs keep getting in the way. That's kind of like how I feel like I would have liked to be, like, an avant-garde musician, but all these fucking songs keep getting in the way.
Yeah, melodies and hooks.
So, yeah, no, but I play... I mean, I grew up playing in other people's bands. I still happily play other people's music, but, you know, Berlin's a weird place. There isn't really a band scene here, you know. There's a free scene. There's an experimental scene. I gather there's an electronic scene and stuff, but there's not really a band scene. You don't go out and see local bands. You see stuff passing through, you know.
You mean the touring bands? There's, like, no local.
Yeah, there's no local scene, which is, you know, coming from Melbourne, that's like, it's like going from the desert to the snow or something, you know, like, well, no, they're kind of similar. It's like going from the tropics to the desert. I don't know what I'm
saying. Well, what about the weather, though? Melbourne weather and Berlin weather.
See, Melbourne weather...
It can get rainy, right?
It gets real hot in summer, like too hot in summer.
Right, right.
Like, can't think. Like, you walk out and the whole place is just like got this hum, you know, it's like, woo, 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 you know, like hot oven. And then winter's kind of pretty brutal because none of the houses are made for it. So it's not that cold, but it's just kind of grim and drafty. Okay. Whereas here, everything's heated, everything's sealed up. Like,
yeah.
Once you're in your house, you're not cold. So it's kind of, Melbourne's kind of tougher in a way.
Okay. Well, Larry told me some Berlin winter, maybe the sun goes away for 2 months.
Say again? I didn't catch that.
Yeah, that's what Larry told me. He said sometimes the Berlin winters, the sun goes away for 2 months.
That's when it gets brutal. Like, that's the shit I can't handle. If it's just not... I don't mind if it's 15 or so in Celsius, which I don't know what that is. Probably zero? I don't know. 15 below if the sun's out, you know. But if it's just zero and rainy and gray for 2 months, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, we're Southern California. We can't handle the weather either.
Not at all. I mean, it's the middle of November and it's 80 degrees. I mean,
what's 80? That's like sort of 25 or something.
Yeah, something like
it?
That. And what's the humidity? Is like 10%, 12%.
Are you wearing a t-shirt? Like, you're wearing a t-shirt, aren't you?
Well, I'm wearing a yellow jacket, but it's pretty light. It's pretty
light.
Yeah,
I got no shirt
under it, okay.
A thermal and a flannel and, you know, the whole deal.
You're all layered up.
Yeah, sure. You're
9 hours ahead, too, so it's a little later in the day. But, you know, some of this warmness is not all that happening because
of the fires.
Yeah, absolutely. Also drought and...
Sure. Well, we call them... You call them wildfires. We call them bushfires.
Oh, but yeah, I'll say that means some big ones. Yeah, but you guys had some big ones. I know Spain and Portugal had some big ones. Greece. Yeah, it's all over. I think maybe some change in the climate, maybe.
Yeah.
There's the theory going around.
No, come on. Don't be so cynical.
Yeah. So, you recording this album, it was pretty spread out.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of it was kind of actually even recorded a long time ago. I think the oldest song on there is The Optimist, like the oldest written song. That was written for an album we made in 2008.
Okay.
But then re-recorded a couple of years ago. The oldest actual recording on there, I think, is from 2010, like a couple of the instrumental things, like Sunday and Shinobatsu, which is named after a place we went in Japan. They were recorded in, like, 2010. So it's like Joe and I have always got this stuff that just sort of goes in the vault until we can find a place to place it, because we're both big fans of the album, you know, like, the whole... And not just a bunch of songs that kind of on their own are kind of cool, but when they're all together, they just sort of bump around like a bunch of marbles or something. You know, like, so I like things to flow into.
You consider it like one piece.
Yeah, sure. I mean, sure. Like, I don't conceive of it as One Piece.
Yeah.
So to be, I mean, it would be disingenuous of me to say, yeah, like, I conceived this whole album from start to finish, and it's almost 2 hours, you know, whatever, however long it is. But it's more that as things come together, I start thinking, like, okay, what's the whole experience going to be like here for the few people out there who actually listen to records from start to finish, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I've done three of those, and I kind of did conceive of
them. Yeah, sure. Start to finish. I totally respect that. Well, like, I envy that.
I got the idea from that first Who record. There's a quick one, Wise Away. That had big influence on me.
Because, sure.
You know,
who's
I
that?
Come from the Who, you know, on Happy Jack.
Ah, yeah, sure, sure.
And you know, Minutemen, we come from a tradition of very tiny, influenced by Wise.
Yeah,
and stuff,
of course. You know? Yeah, yeah.
But then it came to a point where it felt like...
Well, then Nickels on the Dime is a long record, right?
But it's 48 tunes. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, man, you should just... There's too many tunes, dude.
Get this, Ned. Ethan James mixed it one night.
Yeah, right.
He did. I shipped him that. It cost $1,100 to do that record. It's probably the best one I ever played on. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 15, 2018, Dish of Wap Pedro Show. Ned Collette, Brother Matt, hold tight for hour three.
Yeah.
November 15, 2018, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
Still bloody and warm, but Where I come from, I had to run from. Left the light on in the night. Kissed the girl goodbye. Hit the steel drum for the last time. For the last time.
Tell you about the two black dragons, tell them what their names. The two black dragons are here for town, everyone will be scared. They ride with that two black dragons, and everyone has to run. So everybody's getting away. Two black dragons has to go home. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do. Deep into the tunnel for two black dragons, but the two black dragons is laying down, they only have a rest. But two black dragons can hear the noise, someone's too much noise. So the two black dragons want to get on. fly up and away. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do. The two black dragons are getting on, was flying up in the sky. The two black dragons want to hear, they can hear a noise. But two black dragons want two ideas, two black dragons goes to town. So everyone will be scared about, beware of the dungeon. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do. The two black dragons here tonight, was everyone won't be scared. The dungeon saw them about, the two black dragons. The two black dragons is look up the sky, there was a magic call. And the two black dragons turns it to fire dragon and ice dragon. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do. So the ice dragon is shut that dungeon, and fire dragon is shut that dungeon too. Then the dungeon is dead. The two dragons is goodies now, and people loves the dragons. Now everyone is sing on the town what they say. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do. When a hey ho, naughty dotty do, when a hey ho, naughty dotty do.
Pop for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with The Optimist from Ned Collett. Then a couple Australian bands. I think they might even be Melbourne. Amo and the Sniffers. Balaclava, Lover Boogie. I think these are new bands.
Yeah, right.
The Drunk Mums with Roll with the Punches. And then out of Hamburg, there in Germany, Dave Nusselhoff featuring Axel Fage with I Want to Go Back. Daniel Wakeford out of Brighton with Two Black Dragons. XX out of Cleveland, Feldhammer. And finally, Oh Man, Ned Collett. I want to ask you about that title. Oh Man.
Yeah.
Well, what's that about?
All right, I was waiting for you to ask me. Because you said you wanted to. Oh man.
Yeah, like, wait, were you watching?
You know, there's a Dirty Three song called Everything's Fucked. It's the closest I get.
It's a way of people talking here. Especially if you watched, what was that movie, Brother Matt? Sean Penn? Spicoli? What movie was that?
Ridgemont High.
Yeah, the guy, oh man. Actually, it goes back to Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the real, in fact, I think one of them was named Man.
Yeah.
Right? Chico and the Man. He made a TV show later, but when they were doing the little bits, I think Cheech Marin was from here, SoCal,
and
but Tommy
BC,
Chong was BC,
Uber gang.
Even had a comedy club.
Yeah.
I heard that they first did gigs at his club.
Yeah.
And that day, when we were growing up in the 70s, it was about man all the time. So, man don't have to be a bummer, like everything's fucked.
No, it's just a kind of, you know, it's an in-between little phrase. But, I just wanted to, wait, did you say there was a band from Melbourne called, what was it, Mums Drunk? No, what was it called?
Drunk Mums. And Amo.
That's pretty good, but like 10 years ago there was this band there that were really good, they were called Mum Smokes.
Okay. Well, anything
it's a little bit, it's more subtle.
Well, a lot more subtle than Amo and the Sniffers. They got a lady singer. I guess she's Amy, probably, and it turned into Amel. You know, that's one of the great creative things you can bring into this universe is a good band name. I remember,
sometimes,
the music doesn't even matter. You just got a good band. I remember we were playing up in the city, and this was up Firehose days, and another band on the bill was Uncle Bob Touched Me. Whoa. So I want to play Stanky song.
Michael is a misanthrope. He likes to play around with his girl, Shannon. And Imogen's a student now. She likes to play around with the cannon. Frederica takes it slow and makes sure all the men she knows can talk before they sing her to the stars. Up above the city walls buzz the things that make it all so pretty. See the clouds sit up on high, they sit upon a Simpson sky and monitor the centuries' mad capers. Morning after never looked so good, now nights are wholly planned and dictated by all the trashy papers. The Williamses, the Williamses, they take their cars and head out to the country, but they keep the windows closed. And all around the town, the markets burn and drown, yet everyone still looks perfectly posed.
just heard Thanks, Richard, Ned Collette, last music for this edition. Before that, Moments of Exile, Coda, Tashiwada, Yoshiwada, father, son there, in France. Dustin Wong ahead of that with World Builder Imagines City. Talk about title. And then start all off with Ned Collette doing Snakey Song. And we're discussing the spelling. It don't matter. Thanks, Richard, though. I mean, you don't have to explain these things. They already are because they're songs. But any insights you want to give?
That song's just, I think it's five verses. And each one's just a little story. And the one that kicked it off was a true story from my mate Richard. And I think most of them are true and a couple are made up. And the one about Richard, which is like the climactic tune, he's a really old friend of mine from high school. I saw him recently. He's an actor. He lives out there. No, wait, I don't know where. He used to live out there with you. I think he lives in London now. Anyway, he just told me this story where he went to stay with his ex-girlfriend in Melbourne, you know. And he hadn't seen her for a long time. And he got there late at night and she said, "You're sleeping in here and in the morning we'll all have breakfast." And he knew she lived with her boyfriend and stuff, her new boyfriend. But he hadn't seen her. You know, she was like, "You'll meet him in the morning, he's out, blah, blah, blah." He came down to breakfast and she was still in bed. And he walked into the kitchen and he was just like confronted by this guy that was like the spitting image of him. But like 10 years younger, but with a moustache, because that was the fashion of the day. And, you know, like, it's pretty rare that you ever, you know, people say to you sometimes, like, "Oh, I mean, this guy looks just like you," and then it's like, nah. But he was like, without even being told that, he just looked at this guy and was like, "He was a fucking spirit, like, he just looked just like me."
Yeah, it used to happen with me and different members of the Village People. That's why I don't wear a mustache anymore. Hey, Ned, what's next? Where can people... No, first tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Well, the easiest thing is just to go to Ned Collette. So, NedCollette. You can even just Google that.
.com, .social media. Data point dot. And what's next? I know you just did some gigs.
Yeah, I just did like with the Dream Band with Joe and Chris and Fred. Right. I got one gig in Berlin before the end of the year, like where I tend to do this in December, like a 2-set solo thing, and I just, you know, take it easy. And then I think there's a little French tour coming up in early Feb. And I'm trying to write some stuff and make a new record. And Joe and I, and an amazing guy who, I'll send you some, like a guy called James Rushford. He's a composer. Brilliant dude. We just finally finished mixing a kind of record of weird music, concrete kind of avant shit. So hopefully someone will want to put that out. I don't know. Just trying to keep irons in the fire, you know.
Right. You know, you've been doing this a little while now. If you met somebody younger with a mustache and was spinning an image of you, no, they don't have to have any hair on their face.
Looks a bit like my Skype photo.
But no, what kind of advice would you give somebody about this racket?
Well, there's been such a change, hasn't there? Like, there's been, like, a massive shift, so I don't know if my advice would be pertinent. But I reckon there's things that, like, I don't know. The only thing I search for in anything is a kind of, like, a kind of terrible being shackled to the honesty of the cause, you know, rather than, I mean, let's not even talk about trying to make a buck, but, like, I don't know, do the work, keep it honest, stick to it, fuck 'em.
That's good advice. I would consider that golden sage advice.
Well,
yeah, I don't know what's that?
That's yeah. No, I appreciate that definitely coming from you, Mike Watt.
Okay, and really, I love the record. If you're working
Thank
hard
you.
On another one coming soon, that'd be great. Maybe not 8 years like this baby. And then come back on the show, would you? And let's talk about it.
Yeah, I would love to. I'd love to any time.
And you were talking about trying to get over here. Byron and Ted there with Feeding Tube in Massachusetts. You should get on that about, yeah, you know what? I got to record with Devin Hoff, the Bust Out Brigade. Maybe they want to put that out. Thanks for reminding me about those guys. Yeah, they just put out the Spiel Gusher vinyl version.
Oh, cool.
With Richard.
Yeah, Mercer. Right.
Yeah. And Mr. Shimmy and Ms. Yuko. It's been a big honor to have you aboard. Brother Matt, thank you for your...
Likewise.
Always a central aid and a bet.
Pleasure.
Yeah. And it's been...
Straight back at you guys.
Okay,
thanks,
man.
Heaps.
November 15th, 2018 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.